Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Journey of Faith, exploring the Hajj experience with Alhaji Dr. Bella Bello Bitugu. Episode 1.
My name is Bala Bello Bitugu. I was born into a practicing Islamic family. I am myself a practicing Muslim. Islamic religion has some major pillars, 5 of them. And Hajj is one of the pillars of Islam. It is supposed to be undertaken by every Muslim if that person can afford it, once in a lifetime at least. It has always been in my mind that I will be able to do this one day. I want to do this one day. I can do this and I will do it. But it never really dawned on me exactly to do it at a particular moment. I had the feeling that I am able to afford it. But, you know, something that you know you would be doing, but you know, okay, you have some time to do it. Until I think 3 years ago or so, I started thinking of it generally. And still it didn't really dawn on me until I think about a year before this Hajj, when I realized I am ready now. And because, you know, during COVID, I had to support our son to undertake online Quranic lessons. And so I started taking the Quranic lessons myself, how to recite it, and coped with that. I realized that, look, I really have the means. What is actually preventing me from going? So I decided to go. When I went, I realized that there are a lot of mysteries around the Hajj pilgrimage, and even Muslims themselves are not very conversant with what goes on. There is a general idea. And I also thought, maybe from my profession as an academic, somebody who narrates and passes knowledge over and across, I thought I should actually prepare a kind of a memoir, really. I thought it could be shared because it is a very, very, very important milestone. It is an extremely determining journey, and I thought I could share it with as many people as possible, both Muslims and non-Muslim. That has been really the major motivation. I have realized there isn't really anything there to fall on, to experience, to imagine, for both those who have gone or those yet to go, or those who are imagining what is going there. There isn't really anything there where there is a kind of a narrative the way things are done. So I thought, look, let me just do it as a hobby to share it. And these have been the motivation and the impetus to do that.
Africa Global Radio. Our story, our growth, our future.
The Hajj pilgrimage is actually basically in Mecca, and Arafat climaxes it. But it is highly recommended, if you are going to the pilgrimage, that you go to Medina. And what you are going to hear now is what happened when we landed in Medina, and the visits we made, and the activities we undertook, and maybe the rituals that happened over there and their significance.
Alif Lam Mim.
The flight went very well. It's really very interesting. All kinds of people in the flight, no quorum, very difficult. But you don't also blame them. They just don't know it. Somehow we managed to go through it and we landed. We landed around 2 a.m. I don't think they really did anything about our accommodation. Then they brought us to the hotel. No, not too much heat, some small disorganization, but given the nature of our operations, you can say that that is okay. For to a room, I struggled to get some young men to share the room with them. Very difficult, but you know, it's something you live with once upon a time, and we also came from that background, so that's okay. Alhamdulillah, and it turns out to be a very good exercise. I just don't know about Mecca, and then we'll see what happens. But I think it is something. I mean, I've not come to enjoy luxury or worldly comfort since I'm on the ground, like we were in a boarding house.
part of the life, part of the game, and that's how the game is called. When I'm here, I'm not here to look at how comfortable and worldly I'm living, but how I am going to get nearer and closer to my God. And I think I've tried as much as possible. For once in my life, as soon as I got out of the aircraft, I really prostrated on the tarmac by the aircraft, and then I thought, well, that says a lot. Then the rooms and the rest, slept barely some 4 hours. It turned out to be a very, very good start. Not good food, breakfast, but eat and don't die. But we got some very good lunch from a restaurant, late lunch actually. And they organized a tour for us, contact Hajj Board students here and the rest. Brought a bus, one for female, one for the male. We went to the mosque Al-Quba, which is the first mosque he built when he fled to Medina. We went there, did the Salat there, because apparently if you pray Salat there, it is like you have done an Umrah. That's the benefit, is like an Umrah. And we drank the Zamzam water as well. And then later we went to the seven mosques. It's about a mosque which were built with a story about a converted Persian Christian and the rest. Then we went to the grounds of the Uhud battle. You know, Uhud was one of the toughest battles where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam directed them to send 50 people to the hill. They got there, sent it, and so the enemies couldn't move without being noticed. And when the Muslims realized they were having the upper hand, they lost their guard and took the people out, and the enemies came and overwhelmed them. And there was a story also of one of the disciples who was a hypocrite. They had 1,000 followers, a Muslim. The non-Muslims were 3,000. But he managed to take out 300 from that of the Muslims. And so they were left to 700. And then later, during the course of the battle, these people also lost their guard. In fact, it was a tough battle. There was the battle of Badr and then the battle of Uhud. Yeah. We went to what you call a date farm, where they had, you know, this Ajwa date is a date that has been prayed for by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we went there, we bought some, and from there they dropped us at the hotel. We also went to what they call Masjid Qiblataini. That is a mosque with more Qiblas. That is where we faced when we were praying. You know, the story was it used to face Jerusalem, and the non-believers were making fun of the Prophet that he can't even have blah 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 for his religion and the rest. And he was worried because they were mocking me. He wasn't independent, blah blah. And then a surah came, a verse came that they should now turn to Kaaba. But the people were praying in that mosque already facing Jerusalem. So they were praying asr, 4 rakat. They did 2 rakat facing Jerusalem. Somebody heard of the revelation, and then he shouted, don't you know the Qibla has been changed to this? So that particular prayer was said to have been 2 Qiblas. But I heard earlier, when I was educating myself about Hajj, that particular mosque is controversial. People are not sure if that is really that mosque. So anyway, we went there too and saw it. It's even under renovation again. So from there, they came to drop us, and then we went to do Asr in the Prophet's mosque. That is the Hammam. That is the creme de la creme of the day. We went to the Prophet's mosque and prayed Asr. And you know, if you pray in that mosque, it is like you have prayed 1,000 salat. Some people are saying 10,000, and that of Mecca is like 100,000. But what I read was, if you pray here, it's like one prayer is like 1,000 salat, and that of Mecca is like 10,000 salat. So we did the asr, then we came back, went and then got some food to eat. And then I went and was reading the Quran, then up to Maghrib. And then we did Maghrib, and almost every prayer apart from Isha went with Janaza, that's prayer for the dead. I went and prayed Maghrib. Then I came out, and then I spent the whole time in the mosque there. So I went to the prophet's grave, and then the Rauda did the prayer. Then, in fact, finally, I even prayed Isha over there in the Rauda with a few Nafilas, and then read the Quran over there to visit the prophet and Sayyidina Abu Bakr's graveyard and the rest. And that was how the day went, really. So it went very well. I'm actually in the spirituality, in getting out of this world and praying as I can pray and request and ask for. So I'm really very happy that I've taken the decision and Allah has taken the decision. I realize I want to do it now. I have decided to do it, and I'm so happy, so grateful, so elated. I think I am in, and I think I will remain inside, and I believe and have the feeling that this is going to impact my life in a few ways when I come back, and I hope it will be, and that should be. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi ta'ala wabarakatuh. I would like to tell you what happened on the second day of our journey in the Holy Land, the second Holy Land in the country and in Islam generally. First of all, I think, you know, the air condition is just never ceasing, and apart from that, you know, it's so hot. I think it's more than 40 degrees. And, you know, you get out of the room, you just realize that it's so hot, it's burning. You go into the mosque, you go into your room, it's so cold. Even in the mosque, there is a huge area outside, you see from the pictures, something like a canopy, which they can actually fold. And what happens is the place is so cold inside and in our room too, you know. And then you go into the mosque, as I said, or into the rooms, and it's so cold. So basically, we see what happens, inshallah. But it appears there is also a degree of fatigue. A lot are tired, but it hasn't really started yet. So basically, the day started on a very, very good note, really very good note. So woke up at 2, but you know, group work, it took another 25 to 30 minutes before we got to the mosque. So we went to around the Rauda. We sat down, did our things, read Quran, pray, praise Allah from the hotel up to the masjid, the mosque. And you know, it's so strategically positioned. 10 minutes is even too much from our hotel to the masjid. So fantastic. You can't wish it to be any better. We are hoping and praying that really we'll be very near it, the Haram, the holiest of the mosques in Mecca as well. So we got up early morning, at dawn, basically went, did our prayers and praising Allah, asking for whatever, telling him that I've come to establish and to reconnect and to tell him that he is the one, the king, the Malik, the Basit, the Rahman, the Ya Rahim, who is the all-conqueror, the mighty one. I've only come to emphasize and establish his throne and not to ask. And I'm asking because he said we should ask, and just to be sure that I am asking my Lord and my Allah, inshallah. And in fact, I am talking to my God, and I'm asking and telling him he knows what I need, what I desire, what I feel. I have the feeling that I'm personally speaking to my God, that he's just very near me, personally feel he's just close to me, personally think that he's my Allah I am speaking and I am talking to. And the prayers and doing a lot of nafila, reading the Quran in the mosque and blah blah blah. So at dawn, after we went through all those things, we went again to the Rauda. which is actually not the real router, which I'll be coming to later. And we went through the whole process again, and then went as I did yesterday. Nothing really new, but repetition of that and so on. A lot of people, it was like a swarm. I mean, it's nothing yet. I mean, maybe how many thousand, 50,000, 60, maybe 70 or 80,000, and in Mecca we are going to be around 1 million. So we are bracing ourselves for it. So we came back and decided that we will have to take our rest. In fact, we rested up to 11:30, I think. So we got up, and just after we got up, the Ghana Hajj Board came and wanted to ask how we were doing, and the rest came into our room. In any case, I told them what I felt was good. I mean, the hotel, relatively okay, the rooms compared to what we used to hear. I'm not used to sharing rooms, but I've come to take it. I'm not living in the world at the moment. I'm not pursuing worldly things. I am pursuing the spiritual one. And so these worldly things don't really mean so much to me now. I'm sharing the same toilet with four people. I have my small bed in there. My things are crammed somewhere. But alhamdulillah, I don't feel so much about it. And I think generally it's okay. And I told them that, you know, we landed, the buses came, the rooms were given on time, and so far so good. But I said communication, coordination are lacking. People don't know who is serving and looking after them and so on. And I told them also about the tour that they took us on yesterday, which I reported to you already. It happened that they were very, very impressed, and everybody said, yes sir, we don't have anything, you've said it all. In any case, they left, and then we decided to go to the mosque, and after the mosque we had to go and eat, did our nafila and the rest. And then the idea came from one of our guys who were in the room, that he was able to penetrate, there was another queue at the back of the mosque for the real router where the prophet stood to give his sermon and to lead the prayers, and where his tomb was or is, then followed by that of Sayyidina Abu Bakr, and followed by that of Sayyidina Umar. But that is something we already passed by, but not so close, which I took pictures of. So we decided to go for that adventure. After we went for lunch, came back to the room, went for the Asr prayer, and after Asr we decided to go there. Then we went there, and we were four, and that is the luck. The two of them, when we were going, they say, ah, it is like this. The guy said, no, it is here. I went there. They were selective, taking these people out. Where is your car? Do you have special permission? Charlie, we just went through, and then we sat down. I sent you. I couldn't believe it, that I am going to the router. I'm going to be 1 foot away from where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray, used to lead, used to preach. You cannot imagine. It is unbelievable. It is incredible. I never dreamt of it. And then I was also literally 1.5 to 2 meters away from his tomb. And he said that that distance between his tomb and where he led prayers and gave someone is the garden of paradise. Where we went yesterday and the rest, people say you can take that as router because you can hardly get to the router. Now I have gotten to the router. I have gotten to 1.5 foot over. I mean, I can't believe it. This is a blessing. You can't imagine it. Look, we were four. On the way going, two pass somewhere. We said, come. They said, no, this is the place. And I followed the guy who was there earlier. And the protocol was you had to show a pass, a registration that you could be there. But somehow they allowed a few and rejected a few. Those they allowed, we were included. You come and queue and sit down, and then a batch will go 20 minutes. Not more than 20 minutes you have to spend there, and then they will be driving you out. Unless you were praying, either ruku or sujood, you were praying, or you are praying, they won't serve you until you finish that. And then we entered, and here I was face to face with my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, face to face with the tomb, I did my prayers and I just couldn't help the emotionality. I just think it is a blessing. I just think it is great. Just think Alhamdulillah, and we will continue in that regard. And later we came out, we thank God. We wanted to go back later again after visit, wanting to visit some tombs, but there were no tombs there actually. So we came and did just the normal usual thing. Yeah, so tomorrow inshallah, which you could call the third day, we will be going to Makkah. Those who arrived yesterday, the day before yesterday, they left today. So we are leaving tomorrow, inshallah. We will go to Zul Hudaifah, which is the Miqat. That is the place where you will assume your ihram to start the pilgrimage proper. So that is where we'll be tomorrow, inshallah. It's 450 kilometers to Makkah. So I think we may drive for about 1 hour from Medina to Makkah. So we'll go to Makkah, inshallah. And then we'll go dump our things in the hotel and immediately go and do the tawaf and the umrah, because you have to greet and do the welcome tawaf when you get to Makkah, which is what the Prophet suggested, claimed in Sunnah, and also clearly. Okay, I will take the intention of the Hajj tomorrow, inshallah, and then we will move to Makkah, do it, and then we will shave our heads and the rest, and we can then remove the ihram, waiting for the journey to Mount Arafat. And that will happen on Thursday. We'll leave Makkah, go back into our ihram, this time not for the Umrah, but for the Hajj.
الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ
This is an Africa Global Radio production.